Hello, Lighthouse Church family. Pastor Joel here. Just wanted to say thank you for tuning into another of our sermon podcasts. Hope there's a word for you today. Now, let's jump into your weekly dose of godly teaching for you.
But there was confirmation to the message. One came earlier in the week and during our 6 o'clock prayer time. And one of the brothers after said, listen, for Sunday, I feel that you need to speak on the Holy Spirit. And I thought, okay, because I there was one part or one thing that I had wanted to share, and it was like, all right. And then this morning as well, as we were coming in, just as I went to pick up Jackson, who's 9 years of age and is here, he's going to be one of the ones getting baptized. And his mother said to, as she was getting out of the car, she says, you know what, Jackson, you need to have the baptism. You need to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what the message is on today. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And in this account, there's a few figures that are individuals that are mentioned. We hear of Philip, and we hear of Simon the sorcerer. And it's like, okay, a sorcerer? Is that mentioned in the Bible? Yep, Simon the sorcerer. We hear of Peter and John, and we also hear, we recognize that the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are all interwoven in this chapter, and in fact, in the entire book, the Gospel or the Acts of the Apostles. So just an amazing an account, this chapter 8, a huge section of it. I just want to get into this about some of these individuals, who they were, and in a few moments, we're going to have two getting baptized, not a larger group. In fact, I think it's one of the smallest groups that I had for a baptism, but I said, you know what? We need to do this. We need to do this. And it's the first time that I have no adults getting baptized. Just young people. Yeah, absolutely. So I am so excited about this for Jackson, 9 years of age, and for Anastasia, 13 years of age. I am so excited for the decision that they have made and that they're adamant about getting baptized. So in Acts chapter 8, just to give you a heads up, there is major persecution taking place. And there are, like, people are getting literally killed because they are believers. And in fact, the chapter before, like, we're talking horrific death. And so with that persecution, and this was in Jerusalem, and the enemy is meaning, I'm going to try to destroy as many as possible, literally, to have people killed. And there was this scattering of the church. And the church was a young church. It wasn't very old. Yeah. I don't even think it was a few years old. But there was such persecution that many of the believers were scattered, and they went all over the place. And here was the amazing thing. As they went, there was a spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ. And it starts off in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, now Saul was consenting to his death. Whose death? Stephen's death. And Stephen was actually stoned to death. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. I believe that the Lord was allowing for them to stay there for those that remained and to continue on in overseeing the church. And it was not a small church. Probably at that point, there might have been 15,000 to 20,000 people that were part of the church at that time. A number of them were scattered. they remained there in Jerusalem. And it says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And I say, who is this man, Philip? And we get an idea of who he is. In Acts chapter 6, it talks about who Philip was and what he was doing. In fact, the church at that time was so large, and there was issue when it came to widows and taking care of the widows and the children. And there were some issues that arose. And long story short, the apostles recognized, you know what? There is so much work to be done, and I get it. Our church is not 20,000, but I recognize sometimes there's a point where it's like, man, I could use a number of people. If there was more of myself, would be great. But I thank God so many of you have picked up to do your part within the body of Christ. I just say, thank you, Lord. To say, where can I get involved? What can I do? And this was Philip. In fact, the apostles said, we want to look for certain men to take care of this situation and the feeding of the widows. And there was a bit of a problem. It says here, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. You might say, who were the Hellenists? They were basically mixed. They were Jewish and would have had a spouse that was not Jewish. So these Hellenists, and because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Because they're saying, we need to minister the word. To pray and minister the word is the primary purpose of a pastor. We need to do that. He says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation. So Philip had a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So they were willing to take on responsibility. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. There was a moving of God. And here we have Philip was one of those men. Now, here we go to chapter 8 now. This is the same Philip that was somebody saying, I'm willing to take on responsibility and to be committed. And I say to each of you, take responsibility, be of good reputation, be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and say, I'm going to do my part within the body of Christ. Now, I want to say to our 2 young people getting baptized today, you might say, am I old enough? Am I old enough to take responsibility? Am I old or am I too young? And I want to say to you, as you've given your life to the Lord wants to work through you powerfully as a 9-year-old, as a 13-year-old. He wants to work through you. Don't say, well, I'm too young. What can I do? There are things that God is calling you to do. And He desires for you to do. He's got a plan that is specific to you, Jackson. He has a plan that's specific to you, Anastasia, that is uniquely for you. It's not like, hey, this is plan B, or this is, hey, let's just pull up this file 100, and that's for Anastasia. And anybody like Anastasia, no, it's specific for you to every detail. And to you, Jackson, to both of you, specific purpose and will of God for your life. You are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works that were prepared beforehand, that you would walk in them. He created the two of you. I'm sure it was an exciting day, the day you were born, not that long ago. And God is saying, I have something for you. Praise God. Now, in Acts chapter 8, verse 6, it says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded Philip, the word spoken by Philip. So in verse 4, it says, they were scattered and went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, or to the area of Samaria, and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. It was just a simple thing. He started to preach about Jesus. This is who Jesus is. This is what He's done in my life. This is what He desires to do in your life. And hearing and seeing the miracles which He did, God was working through Philip powerfully to the point of even doing miracles. You say, can I do miracles too? You better believe you can. It says, those that believe, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover in Jesus' name. Those that believe in Jesus' name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And there was not just a recovering, but there was miracles instantaneous taking place. And it says, for unclean spirits, well, they heard and they saw the miracles which He did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. There was great joy. People were getting saved. They were giving their life over to Jesus, and there was a joy even as they saw the power of God. And I want to say to you this morning, I want to say to each and every one of you, don't you say, what can God do through me? God desires to do powerful things through you in these last days, in these days before His return. It says, those that believe in Jesus' name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Anastasia, that's for you too. I can do these things even as I believe in Jesus Christ and what He did for me on the cross. And I believe in His name, Jesus' name, which is above every name. There is no name that is greater than the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, the demons, they tremble. They fear the name of Jesus. As we operate in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, you foul spirits, get out. Get out. Get away in Jesus' name. And those demons, they have to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The power of just His name. What He accomplished on the cross for us. Those that believe in what? In the fact that Jesus went to the cross and He died for us and He was buried and He went to Hades and He overcame death and hell and the power and dominion of sin, and He rose on the third day in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that God would have us have in all fullness, with all fullness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just say thank you, Jesus. There was great joy in that city. I believe that is for today. That is for our city, Niagara Falls. That is for our region, the Niagara region, that God desires to do a work through even just one person in the power of the Holy Spirit and using the name of Jesus that is above all names. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria. The King James Version says, and bewitched. There was a bewitching of the people, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." Let me just say this. In these last days, see, Satan doesn't come as, horns and a tail and a pitchfork. He comes as an angel of light. He comes as an angel of light, beautiful. And he transforms his ministers into ministers of righteousness. Someone said to me, "Don't you mean unrighteousness? He transforms his ministers into ministers of unrighteousness." 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11. It talks about this. No. He transforms them into ministers of righteousness. And there's a deceiving in the last days. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke 21, Mark chapter 13, the very first thing Jesus says about the last days is this. Take heed. Take heed lest you be deceived. Don't you be deceived. Not everybody that says, "Hey, I'm of the Lord, I'm of God," is of God. There's a point coming where there will be a judgment that takes place, and it says that even those, they would say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name and heal the sick?" He says, "Depart from me. I don't know who you are." I want to say today, do we need to be afraid? Absolutely not. Let me just make a plug here. Those that believe what? In the gospel, in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If that is where your faith is, you will overcome even Satan. It says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives, even to the death, even in the face of death. They overcome Satan. You overcome. Jackson, if you don't remember anything, just remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. What He did for you on the cross, He went to the cross for you. And for you, Anastasia, and for each and every one of us, and those that would believe, they can have eternal life. And so what Jesus did when He went to the cross for you, He overcame death and hell. He overcame Satan. You never have to be afraid of Satan. Never. When you feel like you're afraid and you say, What? Why am I afraid? And how? You feel overwhelmed. You just have to think, you know what? Jesus overcame Satan long time ago, and every principality and power He overcame. And Jesus is living within me. I don't have to be afraid of anything. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I just want to say, this is for the young people that are getting baptized this morning. I want to say to every adult, I'll tell you right now, sometimes we go through life with anxiety and fear, and it's like, this should not be. Absolutely not be. Now, the amazing thing is, even though they thought this man is the great power of God, they were bewitched by his sorceries for a long time. They had heeded him. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, Philip was using the name of Jesus Christ even as he was praying for the sick, as he was driving out demons. He was using the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, get out. In Jesus' name, be whole. In Jesus' name, get up. In Jesus' name, let blind eyes be made to see. In Jesus' name, use the name of Jesus. And when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They were baptized. It was they got saved just like you two did, and they gave themselves to be baptized as a public confession of their faith. I like this thing of going into the water to me, and even scripturally. There is this aspect of an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ going to the cross. And even as you are baptized, just as Jesus was buried, and as he comes up and as you come up, he rose again on the third day. And I just love the fact this is representative of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the death and burial into this, to Jesus, his death and burial and resurrection. And I just thank God, Romans 6, verse 3 to 5 talks about we come up a new creation. Not now. You are already a new creation, Jackson. Anastasia, you are a new creation in Christ. I just say thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. So they were baptized. And the amazing thing was there was a greater power than the darkness that Simon the sorcerer had that had come. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and a greater power or and the signs which was done. Seeing the miracles and the signs which was done. And so here Simon was also baptized. So this is where Philip knew. No, Simon is saved. He's saved. Today, I don't just want to speak about water baptism. There is a desperate need. And even as Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, one of the last things he said before he left this planet, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You are being obedient to a command of Jesus that was given 2,000 years ago. But today I want to also talk about a different baptism. A different baptism. We desperately need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit immediately. Immediately. It says in verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And this is a confirmation that was given this morning as we stepped out of the car. You said, Mom, you said, Jackson, the next thing you need to receive is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I just say thank you, Lord, this confirmation twice this week, confirmation of even the message this morning. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This last number of weeks, and I don't have my glass here, Mom. So I've been using this just to illustrate the difference between when you get saved. The Holy Spirit comes within us. There's oil in here. This is representative of you and me as believers. The moment we get saved, it says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in. But there is another thing when we get baptized, not in water, but just think of this representation as the Holy Spirit. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Into the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to plunk this in. I'll see if it stays up at the top. It might go to the bottom. Yep, it's going right to the bottom. That's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's like, you know what? No, I am in the Holy Spirit. When I get saved, the Holy Spirit is in me. But when I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I am in the Holy Spirit. And I can move in and out of the Holy Spirit. I say remain in the Holy Spirit. Don't step out of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he's still within you as a believer, but the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do, just as Jesus was led by the Spirit, he was driven by the Spirit of God when he began his ministry. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and man, did things start to happen in Jesus' life. We desperately need the baptism in the Holy Spirit immediately. So when they heard that they had gotten saved and they were baptized in water, John and Peter and John immediately ran. I like to think them just running. Come on, we got to go. They need to hear about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Jackson, you know what? I was 9 years old when I began to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so whenever I had a chance, whenever there was a call for, hey, do you want the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I would come forward. And it happened. It didn't happen every day. It didn't happen every week. Sometimes it was months before there was an opportunity. So I would go forward. I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It didn't happen until I was 14. And I just want to say to you, Jackson, don't let it take 5 years for you before you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm believing that there will be an anointing and an empowering upon you. You say, Father, I want the promise of the Father. It says, and this is my second point here, not only do we desperately need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like right now, and if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, Lord, let me function and move in the power of your Spirit. Because we can do our own thing. That's the big issue. And we'll see this with Simon the sorcerer. There were issues that he had that he needed to deal with. We need desperately this thing of the gift of God, the promise of the Father. It says in Luke 24, 49, it says, behold, and this is Jesus speaking just before, one of the things that he said just before he left this planet 2,000 years ago, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Is seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, he commanded, they were assembled together with Jesus, he commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. I've already told you about this. For John truly baptized with water, just like I'm going to be baptizing with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I pray to God it's not many days, even if it would be today. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall upon all of us. In Jesus' name, that we would be filled again. In fact, there would just be a continual flow of the Spirit of God from us. And even as we move in the power of the Holy Spirit, that there will be such miracles take place. Let it be done. In Luke 11, verse 9, Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Ask. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. There's a persistence with the knocking. Seeking deliberately. Deliberately. Jesus, I'm coming to you. I want the promise of the Father. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? So Anastasia, if you said to your dad, Dad, can I have some bread? Here's a stone. Dad, I asked for bread. If anyone ask a son or a daughter, ask for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Basically, no, he wouldn't do that. Or if he asks for a fish or she asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to be eating snakes. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, in comparison, when it comes to God, even the evil one, evil father would say, hey, yeah, absolutely, you can have some bread. Here's some eggs. Here's food. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let it be done. Why do we need the promise of the Father? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? It is so that we can have power to be witnesses unto Jesus. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And I just want to say, when I was 14, and it shouldn't take 5 years, but I'll tell you, this guy, who the worst thing you could ever ask me to do is stand in front of people. The worst thing by far. I thank God that when I was in school, in elementary school in the 70s, and even when I went to high school, the amount of times that I had to speak in front of class, I could count probably on one hand. I know when I became a teacher, man, the kids spoke a lot more, because that was part of the program, is that it's not just written and the written word and the read word, but it's also the spoken word. That's part of our communication of language. It's the spoken word. I'll tell you, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the fear was gone to speak in front of people. I just say, thank you, Jesus, for the power of your Holy Spirit to be a witness to other people. And the other thing, there was such a help when it came to loving Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit helped me to love Jesus and helped me to love others. I just say thank you, Jesus, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we need the promise of the Father. We need the power to be witnesses unto Jesus, unto others as well. And we desperately need to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit for the right reasons. Now for me, I saw people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can remember my parents praying in the Spirit in another language. They'd visit others, and at one point, there would be time for prayer. And so they would pray with understanding in English, but there were times, and then there would be this shift, I can remember, where they're praying in the Spirit because they didn't know what to pray anymore. They would pray in the Spirit. And I can remember as a kid saying, that's what I want. I just want to speak in other tongues. I want another language. And so it was, to a certain extent, it was, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at 14, it was almost like a little checklist. Oop, okay, done. Okay, let's move on now. And I didn't understand. I was seeking the baptism and the things that this initial sign that comes to be able to speak in another language you never learned. Acts 8, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So they were being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and this thing of this new language coming immediately was happening, and he's saying, I want it. You might say, well, I don't see that. It doesn't say that. There he says he laid hands on. Listen, if I just lay hands on someone and whatever happens, something happened, and I want to show you something. I just found this out today. I love when there's new things that as I look at Scripture, I learn something new. Listen to this. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, you can purchase it with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. Do you know what the word matter is? Is the word logos. Logos means word in Greek. You have neither part nor portion in this thing of speech that is given, this thing of word that is given when the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens. I didn't know matter was the word logos. Interesting. I just learned that this morning when I looked at this word matter. It's like, wow. For your heart is not right in the sight of God. So Simon, even though he had just gotten saved, and even though he wanted something, he was wanting it for the wrong reasons. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray God If perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned, there's still something within you. This word is gall. Gall is, or like almost like bile. It's concentrated. It's a condition of extreme wickedness that you are poisoned, or there's a condition of extreme wickedness by bitterness and bound by iniquity, or you're still under this bondage of greed for money, for power, and the controlling of others. That was his life. And so he's wanting this gift of God, and it was for all the wrong reasons. It's like this old man, the old ways. And that was my problem, as I mentioned already. If I could speak with tongues, man, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was such changes that took place in me. I just say, thank you, Jesus. But to a certain extent, it was like, okay, I've done that. So I didn't recognize the importance of tongues itself. I'll just mention a few. When you pray in another language, basically it's worship and praise to God. There's a help by the Holy Spirit that we worship and praise God. It helps us in battle. It helps us to become stronger. It helps us in prayer. It helps us to bypass the carnal mind and thinking, and that mysteries may be spoken by, or to their mystery to us, but not to God. It helps us to strengthen our faith. It helps us to be refreshed and rested are just a few things that happen when we pray in the Spirit, not necessarily with others around, but on our own. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. And he wasn't boasting. He was wanting to know, or he was wanting that there was a work done in his life and the importance of it to us. Not to show off. Listen, if I'm going to pray in tongues to show off, I'm obviously praying in tongues for the wrong reason. I would say, then keep your mouth shut. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is for us, again, to have power to love Jesus and the power to love others. I just want to conclude with this. Who baptizes in the Holy Spirit? Who is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit? Listen, I'm going to baptize two young people in water. And I'm not forcing them. No one's forcing them. In fact, I asked the question when we had our baptismal class. I said, is anybody forcing you to get baptized? Because Mom was there. Mom was in the lesson, sat through the whole thing. And I asked those that are getting baptized, is anybody forcing you to get baptized? Jackson, no. Anastasia, no. I'm doing this on my own. Hallelujah. Now, as the people were in expectation, all reasoning in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John the Baptist, are you the Christ? When he started his ministry, and as Jesus started his ministry as well, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, just like I'm going to do. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat in his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Listen, some of this stuff, the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit helps to get rid of the garbage in our life, the chaff. Let it be burnt up. Let it be put away. The Holy Spirit helps there. Jesus is the one that baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. I just say thank you, Lord, for that. So, with that.
Pastor Joel here. Thanks again for tuning into this sermon podcast. Just a reminder to come join us 10 a.m. Sundays, either in person or live streamed at lighthouseniagara.com. God bless and have a great day.